It feels so good to get unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith, Studio 1B, it is UFUF, the podcast. Episode 92, coming to you as your conspiratorially arrogant co-host, Tony the Bully Opinionist, along with my partner, a man who, to my knowledge, has never pleaded guilty in a court of law.
To your knowledge.
Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One. Frank, good evening.
Good evening. I'm back. I'm well, I think.
We missed a week.
Yeah, I was sick. It's my fault. But I'm back at it, and I think ready to go.
We missed some stuff.
It's a tough week to miss, man. There was a lot of good stuff. If I could have moved my arms, I would have actually posted something on the blog because it was good. He's taking some heat.
Yeah, tough week.
He's taking some heat from his own folks. It's not like.
Well, he answered the question in his head rather than the question he was asked.
Yeah.
Right. He prepared to answer a question. Right. He got answered a different question, and then he spent the week recovering.
Yeah.
So we got that. We got other stuff. Tonight, of course, we're going to shotgun the news. We got a lot of stuff in shotgunning the news. We got Kim Jong.
He's back.
We got Snuffleupagus. We got bikers shooting it out. Hashtag Biker Lives Matter. We're going to talk about what it takes to get elected to be the President of the United States. We're talking about candidates.
Right. We're actually going to talk about the nuts and bolts of how a person would go about getting elected.
Yes, we are, about what's important. We got a problem with a few things tonight. Also, a political pop quiz. Political questions from the 70s.
Nice.
I think you're going to like this,
nice.
Francis. It's going to be fun.
I think so.
Because it's going to disparage a lot of Republicans.
Well, yeah, I guess that's true.
Also, signs of the apocalypse. In my personal story, let me tell you, I found that it was easier to buy a gun than get an endorsement for a motorcycle license.
Oh, you're trying to get legal on your bike?
I bought a motorcycle last year, which will come up later, by the way. And I finally decided I'm going to be a law-abiding citizen. I've been riding it without a license, admittedly. I'm a rebel. I got a ponytail and an earring. I am one of those guys that you look at in a restaurant. Yeah. Honest to God, it was easier to get a gun than get my
Oh, in Tennessee? Sure.
Now, here, let me tell you. So I finally get to the end of this long bureaucratic process, and the girl asked me, do you have your birth certificate? Friend, as you well know, I'm a 26-year veteran in the United States Air Force. I already have a driver's license.
Yeah.
I'm just wanting...
That's a little bizarre.
No, I do not. And she goes, well, you're grandfathered in, but you need to show your birth certificate. And I said...
Grandfathered into what?
Well, I said to her, well, that sounds like I'm grandfathered out. And she goes, no, you're grandfathered in. And I go, well, maybe we're not understanding this...
It doesn't mean what you think it means.
So, she says, no, you're grandfathered in. I go, well, whatever. I feel like I'm grandfathered out, but you need my birth certificate. So I go get my birth certificate, and I'm going to tell you the truth. I order a birth certificate. I was born in the state of Ohio, so I live in Tennessee. I got to order it. I order my birth certificate. I get it. It's wrong. Nonetheless, I take it because I just want to get my motorcycle license. Of course, they don't know. It has my mother's maiden name listed incorrectly. My mother's name is York. I guess I shouldn't be saying this on the podcast.
Probably not.
Because I probably should get handcuffed.
As long as we don't give out our address afterwards.
I get my motorcycle license, but I mean, this is the bureaucratic process. This is, you know, and I'm sorry, friend. I know that you favor, but I'm thinking to myself, this is the same people that we want to run our health care? And I can't even get a motorcycle license.
It's the DMV. They've been bad since the history of the world.
It's a federal requirement, though. It's what our boy Rand Paul is filibustering. Or it's not actually a real filibuster tonight. You know, because they're talking about the
Patriot Act. Right.
And that's what caused the requirement to show a birth certificate driver's license that I've renewed twice. But now that I'm in person, they want my son of a bitch. All right. That's my rant for this evening. Fran, let's just go ahead and get the podcast in the news.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
Fran, our favorite little madman, Kim Jong, says, oh, not only I have a nukes, I have a miniature nuke fired from a submarine.
Yeah. Yeah, and it comes with artwork. There's a picture of him pointing out to the horizon.
Yes.
And a missile that isn't even close to being in scale coming out of the ocean.
And then our people came out today and said he just photoshopped it.
Right, and someone, the best tweet I saw was, think how formidable North Korea would be if they actually had people who knew how to Photoshop. Yeah, I mean, it's horribly bad Photoshop. Like, that was probably a whale he was pointing at. They photoshopped a submarine and a missile coming up out of the ocean.
You know, it's just like a little madman that instead of being in charge of a train set, is in charge of a country.
He makes his father look fairly sane, and that's hard to imagine.
It's crazy shit.
But there's one gentleman who probably wishes his father was still in power, and that was the defense minister, because he lost his head.
Well, we would have talked about that last week. Yeah. He did execute his uncle, and his aunt was nowhere to be seen for a long period of time. He is just offing anybody that doesn't agree with him.
Yeah, they say the uncle was objected several times and then fell asleep at a meeting, and I think that was the final straw. And uncle go bye-bye.
All right.
But he may be the lucky one in that country. You never know.
Kim Jong. Yeah. Next. Okay, so Hillary says, she's got an additional email account. But then she gave all her emails to the State Department, and now she's saying it's up to them to release them.
And they said they're not going to. They said today they will not release the 5,000-plus emails that she turned over.
But when she turned them over, she said they were all unclassified, right? That's why she turned them over.
Yeah, that's what she says.
What the F, man?
Well, look, we've crossed... I don't want to say this is all a moot point, but it kind of is, because we already crossed the line the minute she said she was using her personal email account. You know what I mean? That's where the crime was committed. You know, because you and I, everyone in DOD, everyone, you sign a thing saying, I'm going to follow the rules of electronic transmission of data.
So this just doesn't matter.
Because she's already broken the law. You know what I mean? Like, she could say whatever she wants. Her explanations aren't going to be good enough. She signed the same releases we all signed, and she broke that. So
again, so it doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
Well, I'm not saying that nobody cares. What I'm saying is her explanations mean nothing.
The public doesn't care.
Well, they're boy, sure, because they're already bored onto the next thing. You know that. But I mean, look, four dudes died in Benghazi, and that's, we're talking about emails now. You know what I mean? So this email thing's going to die too. My point is, I don't really care what she has to say about the matter, because she's already crossed the line for me. You can't sit here and tell me that you don't know or didn't know that this is how you were supposed to operate your email,
right?
Or that you don't have a nerd. I mean, you're the State Department. You're the Secretary of State. You got nerds by the handful. You tell me no one there knew how to run your email account?
Well,
that's all I mean, that's just nonsense. To expect that we would believe that.
Yeah.
I mean...
you know my take. I mean, if Hillary wasn't... And this is not misogynistic. Don't bust out the M-word on me. But if Hillary wasn't married to Bill, she would be some mid-level defense attorney in Arkansas.
Right. I mean, she wasn't the first lady, that's right. Because she never would have been a senator from New York. She wasn't the first lady,
this is all
non-issue, right? And she never makes it into Obama's administration. That's right. Saying that she couldn't have made it on her own, but being first lady paved the way for her pretty easily.
She would have never been running for president if she wasn't married to Bill Clinton. That's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, she certainly had aspirations and things, but without being first lady, none of this really happens.
Right.
I agree.
All right, next. All right, so I'll admit my naivete on this next story about Snuffleupagus, George Stephanopoulos. which has been a, kind of a big story, right? Because he donated to Hillary's camp.
Yeah.
Look, I read a book, and this is 10, 15 years ago, called All Too Human, that George Stephanopoulos wrote. And let me tell you, if you're interested in politics or the political game, it is a great book. I mean, if you hate the Clintons, I get it. Nonetheless, it's a great book about how politics work.
Yeah, it's a good insider baseball read. I mean, absolutely, yeah.
Absolutely. I read it. It's called All Too Human. If you read it, you know Stephanopoulos was the butt boy for the Clintons.
Right.
He's in their camp. He was in the war.
In the administration.
He was with the raging Cajun Carville.
Yeah.
They were bunk buddies and all that stuff. So then this comes out. Like, so then he becomes part of the media, and I'm like, well, he's still the Clintons' boy. I never thought he was anything but that. But then this comes out.
Well, I think the issue is, I think the issue that he's that, like Oberman, who got busted for this when he's at MSNBC, they sign a form saying, you know, you can't back political parties while you're on the air. And so Oberman got fired, right? I mean, and it was too obscure. It wasn't like he donated to the presidential campaigns. He donated some of his own personal wealth to some senators and some down ticket stuff. And then he had come clean on the air, and then he was shown the door a week later. George kind of covered his up, because then he lied about how much he gave. When he turned over the documents, it turned out it wasn't $50,000; it was $75,000 over three different installments. So, you know, I mean, it depends on what ABC wants to do. It's really not a big deal unless ABC says you can't do that. But other than that, are you telling me that
this is a continuing failure of media? I mean, you know how I feel, that you've got Fox News and you've got everybody else, and it's biased media. And if you listen to it without acknowledging that in your head, you're kind of ignorant.
Right. So based on that, does it really matter that they're giving money? Because is it going to make them any more biased?
Well, yeah.
Let me put it better. That's a bad way to ask that. Would he still not be biased towards the Clintons had he not given them any money?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, he's still going to be biased whether he gave him a red nickel.
Well, I guess the controversy is that what they're trying to say is the average person... Like, I read his book 10 years ago, so when he went on Good Morning America or whatever the hell he's on...
Yeah, Good Morning America.
He's still a Clinton's boy.
Of course.
I read his book.
Right.
You don't stop that
overnight. Right, it's not like a door drops, you know, and cuts you off from that.
But I guess they... some kind of a journalist or something.
Yeah, the issue will be, right, journalism, ethics in journalism, if there is such a thing.
Nonsense.
Yeah, my only issue with that whole thing was, well, why would you lie? Like, you certainly got to realize that they're going to figure it out. Like, once he came out and said, yes, I donated to Bill Clinton's fund, that whatever he's running, why wouldn't you give the proper amount? Why would you fudge that?
$25,000 I don't know.
No, but what I'm saying. Like, it's not like he's got that much FU money where he doesn't know the difference between $50,000 and $75,000. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so why would you do that? That just seems to be silly to me. I mean, that just makes you, you know, more disingenuous. And so...
Well, right.
Because ultimately, I think people would have come to your conclusion. Like, well, but who didn't know he's the bag man for the Clintons? Like, why is that such a big revelation? You know what I mean? Like,
that's kind of the story, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, he was supposed to be some kind of impartial journalist now.
Well, no.
But that's the problem, Fran, and that's what I've been beating that drum for 10 years, is that most people would say, oh, no, we didn't know. And I'm saying, how could you not know?
Right. I agree.
Stephanopoulos, and I like the guy, but he's a liberal.
He was the administration's spokesperson for a while.
Yeah.
So when ABC hires him, don't you think someone's got to say, dude, are you... We at least need to know. We don't care if you still do it. Are you giving money to their campaign?
If you read his book, he tells stories about getting Clinton out of all the damn affairs
he had
when he was Arkansas governor.
Right.
Right?
Right. So, that doesn't just... Like you say, that doesn't go away. I guess the other thing was some of the incredulous reactions by people, like, oh, come on, man. They're all dope. Are you kidding me? Guys at Fox are donating towards their Republican candidates. They bring guys on. They bring candidates on to boost their donations. CNN reporters are doing it. I mean, it's you know.
I don't know.
To look for integrity amongst journalism today, I think, is a little
pie in the sky.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm with you. All right, next. All right, big biker shootout in Waco, Texas, Francis. Bunch of thugs, scumbags, shooting it out down
bikers.
There.
Damn bikers.
I want to do full disclosure, though.
Are you?
I'm flying
Did
my
you donate
colors.
To the Hogs? Or?
I'm flying my colors. I'm a member. I am a member of a biker group, the Hogs, Harley owners group. I'm a card carrying member, Francis. There's my
Look
card.
At, he's pulling his
I
card.
Want
Look
you to
at
see that.
That.
That's my membership to the Hogs.
Looks like a platinum American Express.
That's my my Harley Davidson extended service plan. And here's my
you got your Marvel Comics lifetime member
and
card.
And here's my Harley Davidson Visa.
Oh my God!
So,
look at you, dude.
I'm all in.
Okay, let me just say this.
Let me just say this. Hashtag biker lives matter, my friend.
Let me just say, you need to jump off of Mickey's crank from now on. Because you have just been sucked into the Harley world as quickly as you claim the rest of us are sucked into Mickey Mouse. So, jump off Mickey's hog while you're out riding your own.
You can mock us because I'm a member of a club. Every Tuesday we drive down to the Dairy Queen
get
a hot fudge.
A swirly or whatever. What do they make?
I'm telling you what, if those Honda pricks drive down there... We will not.
Well, I got a Honda. Can I not come down there on Tuesday nights?
No,
a Honda.
Don't come down there
in my van. I can't come in my Honda van.
Well, if you're a Honda van,
that's what I got.
Not your Honda scooter. We will.
Oh.
You come down there flying your Honda colors, wanting a caramel Sunday.
Does Honda even have colors?
I don't know.
I mean, I did have a Honda. I had a VFR. 800. And,
you did?
Yeah. And
Well,
and,
I started out on
and,
two Hondas.
And the scooter, you probably wouldn't even see my tail light for very long. But that thing was lightning fast. But, and I actually had a Harley, you know, and here's to dispel the myth. A lot of the guys are hardcore, you know, give you the thing when they see a Japanese motorcycle. But it turns out most of those guys are yuppies. I had an actual dude who looked like he ate, like, tire bolts, you know. He pulled up next to me, and I'm on this bright white pearl-painted Honda VFR 800, and this thing had balls all over the joint. But this guy pulls up to me in a Harley, and he pulled right up next to me at a light. And that set off the nervous, and I thought, oh, here we go. This guy's going to hit me or something, because that's the reputation that Harley riders have, right? Earned or not. And all he wanted to do was say, dude, is that the California Emission version? Which it happened to be. It got shipped to a bike shop in New Jersey by mistake, and I happened to buy it. And all he wanted to talk about was that bike. Like, that dude was interested in motorcycles. Period. Dot end.
Right.
And I drove away from that thinking, it's just like anything else. Until you talk to him, it's all stereotyping.
I really think that's most things. Like, if you're curious in motorcycles, you might drive a Harley, but that doesn't mean you care what somebody else does. I mean,
there are guys out there who act like that, though.
Some, but I mean, I grew up, my dad was a Honda guy. I grew up with a 350 Scrambler. I think my brother actually had the first 350 Scrambler. Then my dad had a 554, a 754. I got the derivative motorcycles to see went down. But anyways, biker shootout at the Twin Peaks. What I've been reading in social media, people trying to make a racial issue out of this.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
A non-racial issue out of it. Saying that, well, there's not the response that this would be a racial issue. I'm just going to say it's just freaking silly. I went through 4 years of the master's program. I studied all the white hegemony, all the white privilege issues. You know what? If that's what you think, just shove it. That's all I got to say. 9 people were killed. They arrested 170 people.
It's
a bad thing.
My two older brothers are retired, 30-year retired police officers. But I, for the life of me, can't understand how the police department in Waco could possibly blame this on the restaurant, which is kind of what the first few statements out of there the police department did. Like, we told them to shut down. We told them this was going to happen. They could have stopped this. Those were the statements coming out of the Waco Police Department. Are you going to blame the restaurant?
Well, I don't know the history of it, though.
Yeah,
if
I don't either.
They were
but...
allowing those guys...
But the,
you know,
allow enough. They're opening a business, right? They're running a business. If there was nefarious things going on, the police should have stopped it. The restaurant owner's not charged with, You know what I mean? It's not
true.
His.
Yeah, yeah.
He's paying his taxes so the local law enforcement keeps the peace, right? I mean,
yeah.
to blame the restaurant for not closing its doors, I just couldn't understand that statement. And who would allow that statement to get out publicly from the police department? That's the other thing.
Like, I was shocked about the whole thing. Like, motorcycle gangs, really? Are we still?
Yeah.
This is.
Well, Waco. I mean, it's.
This is, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's still
out
there.
I'm a member of the Hog, which is really like middle class fat white guys that buy Harleys. That's what it is, man.
The curly, you know. What do they make? The Curly Q? What does Dairy Queen make?
Hey, we'll still kick your ass in a video game.
Oh, nice.
Ah,
bad.
Yeah,
you're right, bad, man. Bad man.
All right, Fran, you wanna take out something on Alan West?
This is a semi shout out to my mother who thinks Alan West hung the friggin' moon. I happen to think he's a lunatic. Alan West, former congressman from Florida, this is the guy who was drummed out of the army for torturing prisoners to get intel, actionable intel, which he never really got. Claimed that he had more of a top secret security clearance than the president did. Well, now he's a private citizen. He goes into the Walmart, and let me say, he's a big time Muslim hunter. You know what I mean? He sniffs out these Muslims wherever they're at. So he goes into the Walmart. He goes to buy himself some liquor for the weekend, and he sees a girl in a burqa. I don't know what you would call that. She's standing at the register, young girl. She's working at Walmart. She's got her headdress on, her Muslim headdress on, and he plumps down his vodka and his wine and whatever, and she says. She tells him she has to call someone. And then she says, well, you have to go over to register 9, which was the next register over. And he starts screaming and yelling about sure. He gets home. He starts tweeting out about Sharia laws invaded Walmart. You don't think it's here, people. It's here. This Muslim woman, because of her religious belief, wouldn't sell me alcohol. But well, Walmart responded and said, bro, it had nothing to do with her religion. She's under the age of 21, and she's not legally able to sell you alcohol in the state of Florida. By the way, in a district which you used to represent, you jerk. I mean, how do you not know the law? The girl was underage. So they shifted him to a register where the dude was 21 and could ring up the alcohol. But, you know, there's no point Alan West trying to figure out the easy point. It's clearly Muslim takeover of the Walmart in aisle 7. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, Mom. He's an asshole. There's just no other way around it. I'm sure I'll get a phone call the second this airs, but... Oh, he drives
your mom, man.
Yeah,
that's pretty bad.
Well,
over Sharia law, and it's.
It'll make for good conversation next time I talk to her.
All right, bro. You got that out of your system?
I did, yeah.
Because I don't know anything about it. All right, next. Seymour Hersh, Francis, come out last week and said the administration lied about the Bin Laden raid.
The only thing that they all agree on is that Bin Laden was killed in that raid.
Right.
But how it all went down, and Hirsch claims it really was no raid. It was a prisoner exchange that Obama backstabbed the Pakistani government on. The problem is when you see Hirsch get questioned, he turns into like a belligerent old man. Like you're not allowed to question him. Like his reporting is
well now. To give him some credit, he did report on the My Lai massacre.
Oh, no. This guy is talented,
yeah,
credited. He's just not a kook. He's
No,
this dude's been doing this his whole life.
But
considered an expert by everybody.
I saw the interview with him as well, and I just didn't get it.
The question he just refuses to answer, that even that jerk the Cuomo that we've kind of made into a whipping boy asked, and he just won't answer, is if this was all... just a prisoner exchange in which then Obama assassinated Bin Laden in cold blood as he was being exchanged. How do you account for the helicopter crash? How do you account for the bullet holes? Like, he's claiming there was no raid.
Right.
He's claiming the SEAL team just went in there, took him prisoner, and then killed him,
and
drug him back to the ship. So I thought Cuomo asked a good question. How do you account for all the bullet holes? Reporters were there with cameras showing the walls lit up with ammunition, showing the helicopter. How do you account for that? You're saying, and he's saying this to Seymour Hersh, so what you're saying is the entire military unit that was involved in that are all in on the lie. That's what you're saying. And Hart refuses to answer that question. Won't even touch it. He just goes on and say...
he answered it with, what's the guy on CNN? Because I saw that interview.
Well, Cuomo was the guy on CNN.
Was there another guy? The guy in the evening. I can't think of his
name. The white-haired dude, right?
Yeah.
I can't... now he's putting on pressure. I can't...
But he asked him that question, and he just said, well, they just made it up. Like, and here's what it comes down to me. I'm going to believe the Navy SEALs. And the SEALs said they went in there... and there was a firefight, and they killed Osama bin Laden. I'm going to believe those guys.
And that's kind of what Cuomo was, where he was heading. Like, you're saying one of the most vaunted SEAL teams in the history of warfare is in on a cover-up with a president you claim they don't like.
Right.
So, like,
I'm
some of these things...
The SEALs.
Yeah. And my only issue was, hey, I wouldn't put it past the administration. Clearly, they have problems handling these types of matters. But... when you start asking him these questions, shit just starts getting crossways, and he gets mad.
If he would have made the argument that the administration didn't find out about Obama the way they said they did, then that would be different.
Right.
But what you're saying is that those SEALs that went in there and did what they did are lying.
Right.
I'm not going to believe.
And here's
that.
The kicker, and this is what Cuomo brought up. He said, you're basing this on what most people would consider to be journalistic suicide. One source, which you refuse to name. Now, arguably, you don't have to name yourself, but what you're talking about is indicting soldiers, Navy, airmen, Defense Department higher-ups, the president and his entire administration. You're talking about those pictures that we were seeing from the war room. You're saying those are all fake.
Right.
And you've got one source, and you're not going to name him. How is anyone supposed to believe you there?
A little nice.
And he just gets mad, and he starts motherfucking everyone. I mean, and that's what he does. I mean, literally, they had to bleep. Like, I should have just been bleeped. They're bleeping him out because he is literally running Cuomo up one side and down the other. And then a dude from Slate interviewed him over the phone, and they put the transcript online. And it was the same thing. He started asking his questions like, okay, what about this and what about that? And it's, hey, F you, this, that, you know. Okay. And as you see, no one's talking about him anymore because he's kind of made himself a crackpot.
Yes.
A talented, credited, believable reporter for years, and in one story because he will not...
Yeah.
He just won't answer questions, doesn't believe he should have to answer questions, and everyone just now thinks he's a nut.
All right, and that's Shotgun in the News.
Let's get hardcore.
Friend, I just wanted to have a little conversation tonight about a couple of things that it takes to really get elected president. Now, let me ask you first of
all right,
how many people so far this election cycle have declared that they're going to run for president?
I think 8, but I'm not positive about that. Is it higher than that already?
Go up a little bit. And I'm on the Federal Election Commission's website of people that have actually filed... to run for president.
Oh, hell, that could be like 25.
361.
Oh, my God. you know why? Because now, I'm thinking of the people we're watching on the news.
Now, let me show you this, Francis, because you're not going to believe me. One of the people that have actually filed to run for president is called Sydney's Voluptuous Buttocks.
Nice. That's where my vote's going.
So...
better than the buttocks.
What does it take to file to run for president?
Well, okay, so
you got to be 35.
35.
A naturalized citizen. Or produce a fake birth certificate.
Or be born in a Panamanian country and claim it was a Navy hospital when it wasn't. That was John McCain.
Lived here for 14 years or something like that. And
lived in country, even if you were a citizen. You have to live in country.
And then I think you
and
need
you can't
to have,
be a felon, I don't believe.
You can't be a felon. I think you got to have $5,000. I think I'm going to run for president, Francis. Yeah.
So basically what you do is you file with the election commission.
Yes.
And they vet your stuff to make sure that it all checks out.
And you're on the election website.
And then whether or not you make the ballot in the primary is another discussion.
But
if you, let's say you were to somehow catch lightning in a bottle and become your party's nominee, then all the information that the election commission collected on you gets sent to the president of the Senate. that would be the Vice President of the United States.
Yes.
And that person signs off and says this person is eligible to be the nominee of their party and run for President of the United States.
So, because I think maybe at my funeral, I would want one of my sons...
a presidential candidate.
...to say, hey, that son of a bitch, we have a president. I mean...
He's from Ohio. He has a better than average chance, right? Aren't most of the presidents from Ohio?
He didn't get a vote. But, okay.
Oh, you get... Come on. You kidding me? You
I'm get my own vote.
Our listening audience would come up for you big, I think.
All right. So, let's go to the Electoral College.
Okay.
How many votes does it take... Because this is really what it takes to get elected president.
Right. So
I mean, we can talk about the $100 million
Let's start two steps back from Electoral College. We are a representative government. Mm-hmm. We're not a democracy. We're a republic representative government. 51% doesn't get a say. You have, by state and population, Electoral College members. Every state's number is different.
Correct.
Based on population. So some states have more. Texas, New York. New York has, while they're so angry, they're a very small state physically, but have a lot of people. So they have more Electoral College votes. So you go in and you pull the handle for Mitt Romney, like I did in the last election.
Right.
So the electoral representatives to the Electoral College from Tennessee, if Mitt Romney, which he did, get the majority of the votes in Tennessee... They are charged to go cast their votes. But for Mitt Romney. However, they're not legally required to do that. When after the election on November 4th or 6th, the next day the Electoral College convenes, and these people cast their votes based on the election results from their state. However, they're not required to vote for who their state voted for. They could vote for somebody else.
But they pretty much always
It generally follows the lines. It generally follows that. But they're not required by law. That we're talking about the actual machine.
Right. And so then...
So you need 272.
To further the conversation, you need 270 electoral
270,
votes.
I'm sorry. 270, right.
You need 270 to win.
And it's set up so that it can't end in a tie, but if it... It shouldn't end in a tie, but if it does,
the House of Representatives and then the Senate,
right, and then the party in power generally would believe to have the upper hand.
So, okay, so let's back up to 2012, the last presidential election. How many votes did Obama get? And how many votes did Romney get? Obama got 332.
We're talking Electoral College now.
Electoral College. Mm-hmm. That's what it takes, right, to get elected president. Romney got 206. So
that's even by that standard, that's a fairly large.
Yeah.
Like I think I was a little surprised to see that gap be that big.
So going forward to 2016, here's what we need to talk about, because there's certain states that are kind of always going to go Republican, right?
Right.
North Dakota, South Dakota,
Wyoming, what they refer to as the flyover states.
But they don't have a lot of votes. California, New York. California's got the most with 55. They got 55 electoral college. They're always going to go, because they're all in the government dole. They're not going to vote for a fucking Republican.
Right. They're always going to go blue. Right.
Yeah. New York's 29. Swing states is what we talk about. Right. Which were the big swing states? Ohio.
Florida. Texas.
Florida.
Pennsylvania.
Texas is a big one, but Texas normally leans Republican.
It
went Republican last election. So if we think about this in terms of the upcoming candidates, so in the last election, Ohio and Florida went
Even
for
Michigan
Obama.
Sometimes in there.
They went for Obama.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania went for Obama. Those are the three ones. If you flip those three states, or Florida, Ohio, and Michigan, Romney wins.
Yeah.
Okay? Because Michigan's got 16, Ohio's got 18, Florida's got 29. So if we think about the upcoming candidates, it gets interesting.
It does.
Because Jeb Bush is from Florida.
Marco
Rubio is from Florida. Ted Cruz is from Texas.
You would think
Bush is from Florida, but his brother's from Texas. And you could almost bet that he's going to carry Texas as a Republican state.
Rand Paul is from Kentucky, so you might think that might give him an edge in Ohio and Pennsylvania.
But also, Ohio flipped with a Republican governor.
Yeah.
So there's a tendency that they might lean Republican and they might flip Republican. California and New York, forget about it.
They're going to be Hillary's.
They're going to go Democrat.
Kay Hagan lost the Senate seat in North Carolina, so that may... She was a fairly liberal Republican.
Well,
so,
and North Carolina went Republican in the presidential nomination with 15.
Yeah.
So now Scott Walker from Wisconsin. Wisconsin went Democrat in 2012. That's some 10 electoral college
votes.
So
there's a Rust Belt guy who may get Indiana and Michigan and
Iowa
Wisconsin.
Went Democrat. Yeah, Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Iowa. That's 26 all told because Wisconsin is 10, Minnesota is 10, Iowa's 6. If you think that he could carry those because of regionalism, that's 26 electoral college votes. You're still going to have to flip Ohio, Pennsylvania, or Florida.
Those three, you got to get them. You can't. You know, they were running scenarios in 2012 when it looked like Obama had somehow gotten Pennsylvania, to everyone's surprise, and you know, Rove's big freak out on Fox when they started calling that race, and then they started saying, well, if Romney can get Ohio, and then he can get Nevada, Utah, but you know, he has a chance, and then it just evaporated because once you get Pennsylvania or Florida, or Pennsylvania, Ohio, or Ohio and Florida, it's over. It's just over.
Because Romney, at 206, you know, he's 64 short.
Yeah.
So that's got to be Florida, Ohio, and some other place.
Well, they were throwing out Utah. You should get Utah, New Mexico, Nevada, but he didn't get any of that.
Utah went Republican, Nevada went Democrat. Right. So, you know, again, I know we talk about candidates as they're throwing their hat in the ring, and we're going to talk about that in the future because there's more and more throwing their hat in the ring. But, you know, they got to start talking about electoral college votes. They got to talk about states.
And you'll hear them refer to the math, and that's what they're talking about, the electoral college math. And
the
this
Republicans
is kinda...
could have a leg up if they play their cards right.
But this is the one moment, I think, where Hillary being basically on her own in the Democratic Party is an advantage. Because she doesn't have to spend money against an opponent right now.
Right.
She can start laying the groundwork for that Electoral College math. You already hear stories about Jeb Bush saying, if he during the primary and during the actual general election, if he is the nominee, is going to skip Iowa, to which the Iowa Republicans are ready to storm the Bastille. They're so pissed off about that. But see, he's already doing the math and thinking, where am I going to have to fight battles and where can I spend money? Hillary doesn't really have to do that yet. So she's taking a lot of heat right now over a lot of things that are jamming her up. But ultimately, she's still the only Democratic nominee. The rest of these guys, you know, there was a big story in the news that there was going to be a powwow in Delaware, and they were going to discuss which of these guys were going to drop out to pare down the Republican field, and everyone threw the big bird and said, this is what the people want. The people want choices. And I think guys like Rove and some of the established guys are saying, but you don't understand, this is not how you win the White House. So we'll see what happens.
Well, they got, as we've talked about before, I think they got a little more time before they got to pare
down the field. Sure, and the field will pare itself. Right, I mean,
you know, the opposite is, you know, I think the Democrats are genuinely at a disadvantage to say the party of diversity.
Oh, they're riding
one candidate,
and they're riding with her. I mean,
you're putting all your money
all her
on
baggage,
her.
Which is starting to float to the surface. I mean, she's been on the defensive for the last 3 weeks.
Amen.
I mean, it's been bad. But here's the issue. If to hate to use this industry term, but of optics. So you got Hillary, and she's battling what we all knew was coming. A vetting so severe, she won't even, you know, she won't need to have a whatever. She won't need a physical next time. She's getting it so badly right now. On the other hand, CNN has just announced they're going to have two simultaneous debates. A debate in two parts. The top 10 guys are going to have one debate, and then they're going to have everyone else. So it starts to look cartoonish. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Agree.
They're going to fight. They're going to look unserious, if that makes sense.
They're going to have to get some chaff quick.
Like, and what their other problem is, and what this guy Dave Weigel, who writes for Bloomberg News right now, said the other problem Republicans are going to have is this rule about you got to be polling at 10% to get on the stage. The problem is the 10 guys they want aren't going to outpoll Trump. Like, Trump is currently outpolling half the Republican field. So if he says he's in, how are they going to keep him off the stage? And they don't want, you know, they just can't have that. They can't have him up there because it's just going to be a disaster. So, yeah, she's taking a lot of heat, but she's running what everyone expected, which was she's just getting shot at from all sides. They kind of look a little cartoonish right now, and they need to square it up.
All right, folks, so it takes 270 to win. Google Electoral College presidential map, because that tells you what it takes to...
And that's how, you know, that's how a president can become president without the popular vote.
Yes.
Like Bill Clinton became president with... He did not get the majority of the votes in the country, but he got the majority of the votes in the states that mattered.
You need to figure it out.
And as hard as that is to say, I mean...
And tune in for subsequent podcasts, because I'll be laying down my presidential platform.
Oh, nice.
As I think, Fran, perhaps maybe both of us...
Well, yeah.
We've done it
before.
We need
donors, though. I don't think we come up with the five large to get in the race.
I got a pretty solid platform. I would be a president of the people.
Dude, if your platform ain't made of cash, it's not solid. That's what it takes to be president.
That's the other thing. It takes the three M's, right? Money, momentum, and message.
Money.
And money. Yeah, that's right. Well, it takes $50 million to even be a...
But what did you say? Did it take to even register? Is it $5,000 to register?
I think it's $5,000 to register.
Which is a crock of crap anyway, isn't it? Why should it take money to register to vote? Is that for paperwork fees? I mean, what?
I'm going to have to look
or
that
register
up
to run for president, I should say.
I'm still researching that on the, Federal Election Commission.
That's just phony baloney there.
That's, I'm telling you.
Because who's getting that? Where'd that money go?
Who the hell knows?
For the probably office same, Christmas party?
Probably the same place my taxes are
going.
All right. That's tonight's Hardcore Politics.
I got a problem. And my problem about to get me down. Yes, I got three big problems, y'all. And my problem about to get me down. Yeah, I got a problem with my woman, with my girlfriend, and my wife.
All right, Fran, the president last week was on a panel to talk about poverty. And during this panel, he made a statement that included his some thoughts that he had on Fox News and a few other things. I just want to play the clip. I'll try to keep it short. It's about a minute long, and then we'll chat about it.
I think the effort to suggest that the poor are sponges, leeches, are don't want to work, are lazy, are undeserving, got traction. And look, it's still being propagated. I mean, I have to say that, if you watch Fox News on a basis, it is a constant menu. They will find, like, folks who make me mad. I don't know where they find them, right? They're all like, I don't want to work. I just want a free Obama phone or whatever. And that becomes an entire narrative, right, that gets worked up. And you very rarely do you hear an interview of a waitress, which is much more typical, who's raising a couple of kids and is doing everything right but still can't pay the bills. And so if we're going to change how John Boehner and Mitch McConnell think, we're going to have to change how our body politic thinks, which means we're going to have to change how the media reports on these issues and how people's impressions of what it's like to struggle in this economy looks like, and how budgets connect to that. And that's a hard process, because that requires a much broader conversation than typically we have on the nightly news.
So I had a couple issues with this. One is that, of course, there's a narrative about the poor, but there's always an opposing narrative too, and he doesn't talk about it.
That's not going to make his point. So he's not going to say it's not going to make his point. So he's not going to say that.
Well, that's right.
Yeah.
That's one of my issues.
Yeah.
You're just going to advance the narrative that proves your point. There's another narrative as well. The other thing is he doesn't talk about... Well, I got two things. He doesn't talk about... When he talks about Boehner right, and McConnell, he doesn't say we have differences. He says we need to change the way they think. Well, that's pretty presumptive. They have a point of view, and to just say we need to change the way they think is, to me, disrespectful of that. The third thing is, and we've talked about this several times, Fran, on a podcast, I don't know that we've ever had a president that's been so bothered by a news organization as Obama is with Fox News. Obama's invoked Fox News at least four or five times in public. His staff has invoked them several times. They put one of its reporters on a watch list. And if you read George Bush's book, Decision Points, George Bush talks about the media at one point, and he says, you know, I always knew that half of the country didn't like me. It comes with the job. It's about having a thick skin and knowing that you're doing this. And so it just seems very thin-skinned of me that he continually invokes Fox News. I mean, he should not be talking about that. But to even make the statement that we need to change the way the news is reported, that's pretty bothersome.
Well, yeah, I mean, I get what he's saying, like, because that's how the country gets their information. So the only way to change the way they think, which in turn will change the way, you know, like he's saying, he's basically trying to say the only way we're going to change the way McConnell and Boehner think is through the public, because they go, you know, they largely govern by the public opinion. And we can't change that opinion unless we change the way the news
exactly.
is giving that opinion. So I mean, I understand what he said. I'm not necessarily sure that's the right way to go about it. But I mean, Fox is his target because he's their target. I mean, they've made billions on targeting him.
But that's the opposite of saying I recognize that people have differences yeah. from me, and we need to meet and resolve
those. No, what he's saying is
differences.
What I'm saying is the right thing, and we have to get them to think
exactly.
what the right thing is.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know,
that's the liberal mindset.
Yeah, but that's everyone's mindset,
like,
right?
No, it's not.
Sure it is.
I don't think so.
Well, I don't agree. How do you get to be president if you don't think you're right?
As a conservative, I understand not everybody thinks like me. I would like to find out what we agree on. I've said this before in the podcast. Let's find out what we agree on and move forward on that. And let's stop just concentrating on what we disagree on. But to say, my only goal is to make you think like me, that's dangerous.
Well,
especially for somebody like him.
But I mean, okay, but you're forgetting a lot of pretty, to me, one giant obvious one, which was when McConnell got up there and said, our job's not to work with this president, it's to make him a one-term president. Well, that's
sure.
not finding areas that we agree on and
sure.
moving forward.
That's
saying he's not going to do what we want, we're getting rid of him. So what's the difference?
Sure. Because the difference is, you have the leader of the free world sitting up there and saying, we need to change the way the news is reported so that people change the way they think, which they've already tried to do with the act, what was it, several years ago, where they were trying to change the way conservative news stations, and they were trying to say, what was that, the Fairness Act, that they said, well, we need to get equal time on conservative radio because liberal radio doesn't make any sense. So they were going to enact that. That's the same thing. It's not like recognizing, which to me is a conservative principle. It's my principle anyway, is to say, not everybody thinks like me. It doesn't make them bad people. Obama's saying, not everybody thinks like me and they need to.
Right. He's right. I mean, but
that's different than saying, we don't agree with a guy and we're not going to do anything. We're not going to.
Well, kind of. I mean, it's kind of a backhand way of saying, if he agreed with us, then we'd be fine with him. But he doesn't agree with us, so we're going to get rid of him.
That's government.
Right.
That's government. That's not saying,
well, so
hey,
he's
we
saying,
need to
I need,
change the
I
way
need,
the news...
I need Boehner
in... He said we need to change the way the news is reported.
Yeah.
What the fuck is that?
Well, that's... I mean, he's taking his shots. I mean, think about the thing he referenced there with the Obama phone. I mean, Fox News made that... They put that into the American lexicon.
Yeah,
the Obama
they did.
Phone.
Well,
but that's not accurate. It's not the Obama
people
phone.
People actually said that.
No, I know, but and they put it out. I mean, the masses know that term because of Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that's not accurate.
Because people were actually out there saying, give me my Obama phone.
Right. But that's not accurate. That phone program started in the Reagan administration, and it's been carried forward to every administration since. They're really, if you're going to put a tag on it, a Reagan phone. But people on the street aren't reporters. Fox News is. And they certainly would know that that's the truth. That program is not an Obama creation. That's a program that carried over. Much like the Patriot Act. It's not an Obama creation. That's from, you know what I mean? Like, these things carry
over. Oh, I agree with the Patriot Act.
But they're, you know what I'm saying? But so it got tagged an Obama phone, but that's not true. It's not Obama phones. He's just the current president. It was before that, it was a Bush phone, and before that, it was the Clinton phone, and before that, it was the Bush phone, and then the Reagan phone.
I don't know about that.
Well,
I don't know about
that.
You just
Google it, it'll show you where the program started.
I will look into it.
I mean,
but I know that those presidents didn't say we need to change how the news is reported.
No, but I'd also say that the news certainly wasn't reported the same way back then, right? I mean, because it's not really.
I can't say that Barack Obama is taking any more shit in the media than George Bush did. Holy smokes, man. Come on.
No, I just think there's more media out there. He's probably not taking any more by quantity, but there's just more. You know what I mean? It's so much easier to find it now.
We had a British politician called George Bush a retarded cowboy in an awards ceremony, and nobody breathed.
Right.
It was okay.
But what would have happened, do you think, if there was Twitter at that time? Or if it was as big as it is now? I don't know when Twitter came out.
Anything. That's what I think.
I think you're crazy.
That's what I think.
I think you're crazy.
Because they had the same guy back the next year. There was no public reaction to that whatsoever.
Right. What, my
now,
point
if you
being,
called Obama a retard, what do you think would happen now?
Well,
Holy shit.
What I would hope would happen is that Palin would come off the, you know, off the woodwork from Alaska and say, you can't say that. Because she's the one who said outlawed the word retard, right? You're not allowed to say that. But my point is, if Twitter, if all these social media outlets were big, I think the outcry, there would have been a bigger outcry. I think.
I
would agree that.
I don't think that, so, because I think the mainstream didn't really care that he was being called, that Bush was being called that.
Well, no,
they
because
care
the,
how
the majority of the mainstream
insulted.
Media was against Bush at that point.
And Bush never referenced the media in any way like Obama has done repeatedly.
Oh, that's true.
And his administration
true.
Has done repeatedly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no, they
saying,
make...
Hey, you guys need to stop saying bad shit about
it. Well, actually, and they don't say that really anymore. What the press secretary, if you watch the briefings, now they just make offhanded jokes about Fox. Like, they've gone away from chiding them, and now they just kind of make jokes of them. You know, and Ed Henry, who's a fairly... In my opinion, Ed Henry who's the White House reporter for Fox,
right.
is one from appearances is one of the nicest guys, smart, fair, gives a fair shake where fair
kind
shake
of
is due.
Straight up journalist.
Yeah, straight up journalist, and they give, you know, in that briefing room, he takes a lot of shit that in my opinion, I think is unwarranted, but because he bears the moniker Fox News, he's taken a beating. So yeah, I mean, I agree with that. You know, they have targeted Fox because Fox is a unique situation, right? I mean, there's only one of them. You know what I mean? It would be impossible
right.
if the situation was reversed
sure.
because who do you target first?
Right.
You know what I mean? There'd be too many targets.
It's the only one of them.
Right.
So they
I mean, at Bush's height, I guess Oberman was probably the lightning rod, but there were so many other outlets when he was tearing Bush apart on a nightly basis.
Well, they're not going to be highlighted that way
right.
either.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I would agree. I mean, it's... You know, it's first of all, what's he got? A year and a half left? Not even. I mean, you know, it's kind of all ridiculous. I mean, really.
I don't know. I think it's
well. I should say ridiculous to expect an outcome.
For
I mean,
the president. Yeah, I get it, but I think it's a wrong statement. I think it sucks that the president of the United States goes on a public panel and says we need to change the way the news is reported. I think that's just. Fucking irresponsible of the leader of the free world. He shouldn't even be acknowledging that.
I would agree with that.
Position.
I would agree with that. By acknowledging it, first of all, you give it credibility. That's rule number one, right? Of PR, you should never do that anyway. But yeah, I would agree. It's beneath him to even do it. Beneath the office to recognize it. And you never heard Bush talk about the media. That's true.
He
never.
And he took a lot of shit for it too.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that in his book. I know I took a lot of shit. The position I was in, it was my job not to respond to that.
See, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if I agree with that statement. Because, like the current president, there was a lot of stuff that just was made up about Bush.
Yeah.
I don't know why a man, because he's the president, has to take that on the chin. I mean, you know what I mean? Why?
I think that, well, if you read his book, his like, my office was above that. There are things that I need to respond to, and there are things that I don't need to respond to.
But when you
to.
Don't respond to the outright lies, and don't you then just allow it to be continue to go on?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I mean, I would go back to the Dan Rather thing, where they just outright lied about him, and that was found out, and it was, you know. Or it's like Russell Brand calling him a retarded cowboy. I mean, what's the point of him responding to that?
Well, not Russell, but Russell. Think, yeah, Russell Brand's not a citizen. I mean, he's
right, but it was still a public thing, and he was still an American, and or you know, an American event, and you know, in Bush's book, I think he makes the point that as a president, you kind of have to be above that.
Yeah.
And I don't think Obama's ever been above that. Anyways, that's my problem tonight. Of course, I don't want to turn into a bitch about Obama, but you know, I think he's
Well, I mean, this goes back from his inauguration speech in 08, right? Where he opened with, I've inherited the, you know, on and on and on. This is just, I think, the next evolution of that mindset, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, and it's going to come to nothing. I mean, you know, it's just, that's kind of my thing. Like, what's there certainly will be no result from that. I mean, he certainly can't expect that he's going to change their minds now. He's been in office 6 years. I mean, exactly what is he expecting to accomplish, you know, in the next year and a half? It's kind of silly.
Well, I mean, that's a discussion, but I don't want to go on all night about it. But I think when the leader of the free world says shit, he should be held accountable to it. But anyways, what's your problem?
My issue with the UN, they apparently, from atop their ivory tower, have been observing the American public in action, and they feel it's time the United States polices up their police.
Oh, nice.
I mean, let's talk about one of the most corrupt government organizations in the history of the world. And I don't say that flippantly. They talk to any New York City police officer, and they will tell you that UN members essentially can do murder and have diplomatic immunity and get away with it. Google Bob Simon, the 60 Minutes reporter who died in a car crash. In the tribute to him on the show right after he died, 60 Minutes played his three most memorable stories that he reported. It took the whole 60 Minutes to do that, each of a 20-minute segment. All three of those stories were about corruption in the UN in one shape or another, once in Bosnia. You know, and in every story there was an angle, and in Bosnia that was the most telling. He is talking 10 years after the fact to the commanders on the ground in Bosnia, and they are saying, "Look, the UN told us, don't worry about the peace. We don't want any military deaths to stain the appearance of what we're doing there." And he's talking to this one Canadian and this one Norwegian general, and they both said, "Look, we had to stand by while these people were massacred because we were told, don't get anyone killed. Well, I can't do that if I engage the enemy. So we had to not engage. And we had sat there while the war criminal that they finally captured marched his troops into the camp and took all the men and boys out and took them to a field a mile down the road and gunned them down. He said, what could we do? Our mandate was to not get anyone injured. So, and of course, no UN officials would come on to that. But sure. This is the most corrupt government in the country or in the world. This entity of the UN that is housed in New York City, in a building in New York City, and they claim, from what they've seen on the news, because you know none of those swinging dicks have gone down to the actual scenes, and say, we need to police our police. Are you kidding? You got to be crazy with statements like that. How about you police your whole organization? How about you take credit for the massacres and the euthanasia that's been going on and the genocide that's been going on across Eastern Europe? You got to talk about some police officers in Missouri? Are you crazy? I mean, if I were them, clearly they're unplugged. Because if they weren't, they would know that any slight statement could cause all those mobs, the one in Long Island, the one in Missouri, the one in Brooklyn, to band together and march on the UN and burn it to the ground. You know what I mean? Like, they're in a very precarious situation. I would say they might want to keep their mouths shut before they find themselves on the business end of one of these riots. For an organization like that to say, police your police, it just defies logic. I just don't...
Well, it's a popular thing to point the finger at America, I think.
But while you're standing in the middle of it, and you're corrupt, you can't even...
They think they're outside of it, though.
Yeah, absolutely they do. That's right. That's an absolute, sure, absolutely, curse, where your people are. So how about you police that?
All right, Francis... We've got some serious problems tonight. But now...
Quiz time.
We're going to the political pop quiz. Now listen, here's the deal. We're going to do the political pop quiz, 70s political questions. If you beat Francis, go to our website, fill out the form, and email it to Hillary Rodham Clinton at ethernet.com, and we'll, as soon as we get the email, we'll send you your prize. Let's go to the political pop quiz. All right, are we ready, Francis, for question number one?
We are.
In October of 1973, former Maryland Governor Spiro Agnew resigned the office of the vice presidency. Why? And I'll give you three choices.
Oh.
He pled no contest to charges of tax evasion and money laundering, to care for his terminally ill wife, Judy, to run for the U.S. Senate.
A.
A.
Was I supposed to wait so people can answer?
No, you don't need to wait. He had pled no contest to charges of tax evasion and money laundering. Question number two. Which prominent 1970s American political figure is credited with coining the phrase, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac?
Oh.
And your choices are Richard Nixon, Gary Hart, Henry Kissinger.
Oh, I think that's Kissinger.
It's Kissinger. Yeah. Henry Kissinger coined the phrase, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. I had to wait for the drum roll. Okay.
Oh, nice timing there. Let's start.
This is a good one. I love this one. In 1974, the intoxicated chairman of the powerful House Ways and Means Committee was involved in a sex scandal in which his companion, Argentinian stripper Fanny Fox, jumped into Washington's tidal basin after their car was stopped for a minor traffic violation. Who was this once powerful man? Wayne Hayes, Henry Scoop Jackson, or Wilbur Mills?
I can barely hear. Let me have the choices again.
Wayne Hayes, Henry Scoop Jackson, or Wilbur Mills?
I'm going to go with B.
Wilbur Mills.
Oh, okay.
It was Wilbur Mills. Okay. All right, next question. In October 20th, 1973... President Nixon, Richard Nixon, ordered Attorney General Elliot Richardson to fire the Watergate Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox. Richardson refused to do so and resigned from the cabinet, as did his deputy, William Ruckelshaus. It fell to third-in-command Robert Bork to fire Cox. What is this series of events now called? Tricky Dick's End Run, the Dismissals of October, or the Saturday Night Massacre?
I didn't realize it had a name.
It does.
I like Dismissals of October, though.
It's the Saturday Night Massacre. All right.
Two for four.
One bonus question.
Okay.
On August 5th, 1975, President Gerald Ford issued a posthumous presidential pardon to this man based on character that has been an example to succeeding generations, making the restoration of his citizenship an event in which every American can take pride. Which historic figure received the pardon and return of citizenship? Julius Rosenberg, Robert E. Lee, or Benedict Arnold?
Ooh. I'll say Benedict Arnold there.
It was Robert E. Lee.
Was it?
It was Robert E. Lee. Yes. Huh. I could have given you one of the answers as Richard Nixon, but you would have known that Nixon wasn't dead at that time.
Right.
So, all right. So that's tonight's political
pop quiz. 2 for 5. That was a bad show by me.
Again, if you beat Francis, fill out the form, send it to Hillary's email when we get it.
I see what you did there. Yeah, we're not going to get her emails. Yeah.
We'll send you the prize. Beautiful.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Fran, what's your sign of the apocalypse tonight?
I wanted to go with what Josh sent me about the self-aware robot who was asking for more friends. I couldn't even read it. It was so damn creepy. I couldn't.
It was creepy.
So... But I'm going to go with my original one, only because I think it has more of an impact right now, and that's no pun. The Google driverless cars are crashing at a rate I think most Americans are unaware of.
Really?
Like at a peak, they were 30% of the time they were crashing or involved in an accident.
Wow.
And like Google's covering that up. You know, I mean, they're trying to keep that from...
Those bastards.
Well, but think about that. I mean, you know, in Terminator, like Skynet was kept a secret. You know what I mean? And people, you know, you keep these things a secret and all of a sudden it gets out of your control. And then all of a sudden we all know about it, but it's way too freaking late to do anything about it. So they got a bunch of driverless cars out there that are engaging in accidents and they're not really telling the public. That just doesn't bode well for me. And, you know, that dovetails into what we had talked about a couple weeks ago about Nevada putting the first driverless 18-wheeler on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, why would they be any more successful than the
Cougars? Well, even on our local radio this morning, which I know that you don't listen to, but he was talking about it frightens me on the one hand. On the other hand, the aspect that I could just get in a vehicle, push a button, and it'll drive me to work.
Yeah, it's fascinating, right?
It's fascinating.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah, because I don't really have to be awake. I mean,
I could just sip
my coffee and do stuff, right?
Yes. All right, well, here's my sign of the apocalypse. Fran, the Boy Scouts have banned squirt guns.
What in God's name?
They said pointing a firearm is not kind.
Well...
They have prohibited water guns. The water gun fights are strictly prohibited. A blog for the organization's leaders said May 6th that pointing simulated firearms at people is not allowed. And apparently a squirt gun is a simulated firearm.
Yeah, see, it really isn't. It really is. In no way does it simulate a firearm. Have you seen these squirt guns?
And they also said, they also took issue with water balloons.
Well, they look
because
like hand grenades.
Said, for water balloons, use small biodegradable balloons and fill them no larger than a ping pong ball. Water guns and rubber band guns must only be used to shoot at targets. And eye protection men. This is the Boy Scouts!
What? Let's back up to the balloon. What? With the balloon thing? You can't fill it up more than a ping pong ball?
That's what
they
say.
Do they not understand that that actually makes it more deadly? I mean, do they not understand their physics? Like, when you reduce the surface area...
Do they not understand their squirt guns?
Well, that... I mean, but I think that's an obvious point. But, I mean, you know, baseball... Little League Baseball has gone away from the soft baseball because they've realized that the hard ball deflects off the body. The soft ball transfers all its energy. When you reduce the surface area of an object and make it harder, it's just not smart. They're going to put somebody's eye out with these little ping pong water balls. I mean, what the hell is wrong with these people?
I don't know, Francis. It's distressing.
That's just over. I mean, yeah. No, it's the end. You're right. I mean,
they're just
overthinking this to
the
nth degree.
The Boy Scouts have banned squirt guns.
I mean, if you can't trust a Boy Scout with a hot pink piece of plastic that shoots water, who can you trust with that? I don't understand.
I think we need Felch to weigh in on this. Isn't he a big Boy Scout?
Felch? Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's
what?
Huge. Yeah.
What?
I want to say, but I think both his sons were Eagle Scouts, if I'm not
they
mistaken.
Were. Yeah.
So, Don, I'd be curious to know Don's opinion on that. It's just... It gets too tiring sometimes.
Friends, it is so tiring. I get so tired.
I mean,
friends, if you live long enough, you're going to see the end of the world. That's the way it is.
When I first started working at Sears way back in the 80s, I worked with a guy named Earl Gandy. Bless this guy's soul. World War II veteran. He was on the first ship that fired on Normandy. He says to me, I ate something and it had something on it that it shouldn't have had. And he said, well, you know what, Franny? That's the old people call me Franny. You're going to eat your share of dirt in your time. Well, that seemed pretty simplistic to me. I'm like, yeah, you know, that kind of makes sense. I mean, that's kind of how this guy lived. Well, shit's just going to happen, bro. You live long enough. You know, I mean, come on. You can't point a water gun? I mean, that's just... Water guns at targets. That sounds exciting.
Yeah. So anyways, friends, it's episode 92 in the books. We will seriously try to be back next week with episode 93.
I'm going to take my vitamin C and see if I can stay healthy for more than 1 week in a row.
Because we are only 7 away now from episode 100. Which
well,
is
school's
be,
out, so
oh,
half my
yeah.
germ problems go away.
Oh, all right.
Those little bastards. I mean, they're all nothing but little Petri dishes walking around.
Of course, I'm the empty nester, which you have no idea how little real responsibility I have for.
Right. Well, I think through the magic of Periscope, I think people will start to realize that because of that, you do just about everything for the podcast. I kind of just show up and make shit up. I mean, well, that's kind of my job.
That's your job, Francis.
I just make stuff up as we go along. But I will say, I'm going to jam a shameless plug in here. I was asked to contribute to a book. The book has come out 2 weeks early. Two of the three stories I submitted were selected and have been published. As my 5-year-old son said to me, "Daddy, you're an author."
Yes.
And that was a little surreal to hear that, and to hear my 5-year-old say it. But anyway, so the book is out. You can go to dadsbehavingdadly.com, or you can go to Amazon and type in "Dad's Behaving Dadly," and it'll come up. But I think if you go to the website Dad's Behaving Dadly, it's $14.99. I believe on Amazon it's going to be $19.99. So hit the website and get $5 cheaper. But it's a little. I'm like the only funny story in there. Most of it's a lot of serious self-discovery by dads, but
spend $14 on these friends.
Yeah, it'll be just in time for Father's Day, you know.
Yeah,
it's a bunch of stay-at-home dads, a bunch of working dads, guys who are involved with their kids, writing stories about it, and there are actual authors in there, guys who have been published before. I'm one of the few interlopers, I think.
No. Don't do that to yourself, my friend. You're an actual author.
Well, I am now, but I mean, these guys were published before. I mean, people were paying them money. I mean,
they're no better than you. We will hunt them down with our drones and whip their asses.
Oh, by the way, talking about drones, huh? Were you in the D.C. area again this weekend? I'm afraid to even text you because I know the keywords will come up on the FBI database. I don't even want to text you about drones because I'm afraid cops will show up here and take you into custody.
So get Fran's book. My buddy's an author. That is amazing. That is great. And if you've never read Frank's Place, his blog, you got to read that. There's just great stories on there. It's a lot of fun. So episode 92 in the books. We'll be back next week with episode 93. Jonah, I will ask you to take us out.
Jonah, tell all the good people night night.
Night night. Night night.
Thanks for getting unfiltered and unfettered.